Today's episode is brought to you by Bethany House Publishers and Kristen Weatherall's new book, Fight Your Fears, Trusting God's Character and Promises When You Are Afraid. In her newest book, Kristen addresses the cyclical nature of fear, why we still feel afraid sometimes, even though Jesus defeated fear on the cross, how scripture can help us understand fear, and what it means to truly fear God. Find out more at kristenweatherall.com/books. We're so thankful for Bethany House Publishers. Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey guys, today we have a little different episode for you. It's just me, Laura, here. And today I thought I'd pop in and tell you about something I'm learning about. Emily will be back and she's actually going to do a solo show soon too, so no worries. But before I get to that, I also want to just remind you guys that we actually have a blog at Risen Motherhood. We post at least once a week, and there are articles that are written by women all over the world. A lot of times they tackle more specific or unique topics than what we're able to dive into here on the show, and I'm telling you, this is some really great content. The writers are regular moms just like you and I, sharing how the gospel connects to their everyday life. So head over there to risenmotherhood.com/articles to start reading them. And we'll pop some links in the show notes if you want to subscribe and get them straight to your inbox, so you never miss a post. Okay, so today I want to talk with you about rest, and more specifically, Sabbath rest. I don't know a mom on the planet that wouldn't say she's in need of more rest, or I think we all would agree that when we're asked, "How are you?" we would likely lead with something like, "Good, but busy." And I get it. I'm a busy person too, and I often overcommit. I feel overwhelmed by all my responsibilities. Friends, I am naturally a yes person, and I'll pick up all the pieces person. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. The sky is the limit kind of person. But I tell you what, about 2 years ago, I found out the hard way that the limit is way lower than the sky. The particulars don't matter for today, but I'm going to guess that you guys will know exactly how I felt. Tired, burned out, exhausted. I felt like I had to hurry to everything, hurry while doing it, hurry to wrap it up, and hurry to the next thing. You guys, I lived one day ahead, nothing more. And I felt like even that I could barely stay in front of. I was forgetful. I constantly had to apologize for missing things. I had late night runs to the grocery store, early morning frantic texts to friends and family for help when I was overscheduled. I was like this hamster on a wheel, just going, 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 going. And I felt like I was failing at everything. I was anxious and I was stressed out, but I didn't know how to get out of the cycle. Psychologists actually have a word for this. It's called hurry sickness. In a Psychology Today article, hurry sickness is defined as a behavior pattern characterized by continual rushing and anxiousness, an overwhelming and continual sense of urgency. So they list a few clues to find out if you have hurry sickness, and I would love for you to take this with me and see if it's you. So the first one is moving from one checkout line to another because it looks shorter or faster. I do this every time. Another sign might be that you count cars in front of you and you either get into the lane that has the least or the one that is going the fastest. That is definitely me. Another one is multitasking to the point of forgetting one of the tasks. Always. A fourth one is accidentally putting your clothes on inside out or backwards. Okay, you guys, I have literally worn a shirt the entire day inside out. And it wasn't just like this day at home. No, it was at a conference with 9,000 other people. Okay, so I basically blacked out that list. How did you do? I've seen this happen to so many of my mom friends. And here at RM, people are constantly sending us messages about how to juggle it all, how to relieve the stress, anxiety, or worry, or how to find time for self-care to get a break. You may not have the textbook definition of hurry sickness, but I am going to guess if you're listening to this and you're a mom to any number of children, you probably struggle from feeling distracted, busy, worn out, and a little bit thin in all the wrong places because some things just feel so busy. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That was me. I was laboring. I was heavy laden and I needed rest. So the funny thing was, I did try some rest. I went on a vacation to a beach. I took a lighter week at work. I forced myself to watch a TV show after my kids' bedtime that had no value other than I could zone out during it. That was very hard for me. I got childcare and I went out to dinner with girlfriends, on a date with my husband. I went on a walk, likely power walking, but still, I went on a walk. By the textbook definition of the word, I rested. I found pockets of time to kick my feet up and shoot the wind. But it wasn't working. One day, I admitted to my sister-in-law that I couldn't live like this anymore. I was honest with her about how stressed out I was, how I felt like a failure. I was having these doubts and questions about life and faith that I had never had before. So I told her this over the phone, and after we were done, just a few minutes later, I opened my phone to a picture of a Venn diagram in a text. Without me ever asking her to, with a few strokes of a pen, she had mapped out all my major commitments in life, how they overlapped, and the deeper heart issues they revealed. Yes, it was as amazing as it sounds. So after I got over the initial shock of seeing my entire life systematically itemized and boiled down to an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, I understood the message she was sending. I was overcommitted, I was striving, and I needed rest. Okay, I thought, I know I need to rest. So when we got back on the phone, I was prepared to tell her all of the ways that I had been resting. I watched TV, I forced myself to sleep till 6 a.m., I read a book. But what she asked was a bit unexpected. She said, have you ever tried a Sabbath? Sabbath. It's an ancient and mysterious word to me. I was familiar with it. I grew up with the church, so it's a common part of my Christianese. But to me, Sabbath just meant I did a whole lot of church stuff. Growing up, Sabbath meant church and Sunday school, and we had people over for lunch. Then we went to youth group that evening. I knew there were other ways of doing it, but it really didn't seem relevant to me anymore. I mean, even the word Sabbath, while it rolls off the tongue for a long time to me, it felt like it would come out like a stale cracker. I would think to myself, it probably used to be good, you know, back when it was fresh in Bible times, but it doesn't quite work in the modern life. Terms might come up like fuddy-duddy or ultra-religious or old-fashioned or archaic or even, and this one I may just take the worst offense at, lazy. It was something I figured I'd get to later, you know, in a few years when the kids are older, if at all. But over the past year, out of a somewhat desperate place, I started studying the Sabbath or Shabbat in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament. I started learning about rest and peace and the flip side, busyness and hurry. And then the next thing you know, I'm into learning about attention and neuroscience and psychology and change and growth and becoming. And suddenly I had all these questions about what am I about? What defines my days? Who do I want to be? What should the rhythm of my life be? And one burning desire deep in my core kept beating its drum. How can I be faithful until the end? Deep stuff, I know. But for me, that just became a regular Thursday afternoon thought. The thing is, under it all the busyness, I had a deep ache for a different kind of life. I had dreams and goals and ambitions and aspirations by the bucket load, but I didn't have peace. I didn't have joy. I didn't have the true soul rest you hear a Christian is supposed to have. What I needed was a different kind of rest, a Sabbath rest. I needed to take time to study and to understand Sabbath, to gain a new definition. Because the truth is, the Sabbath isn't outdated or irrelevant for life today. It is vitally important to the Christian life, built into our lives and bodies by God. As you guys probably know, the Sabbath is number 4 of the 10 commandments. So in Exodus 20, God's giving the commandments to the Israelites, and he says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." The Israelites had just been freed from slavery in Egypt. They were being told that every 7 days they were to Sabbath or Shabbat, which by definition means to stop or to cease. And this stopping, it was for everyone, no matter who they were, sons, daughters, slaves, travelers, visitors, even their animals, were to take a day off. The reason Moses gives them is a simple one, found just 2 verses later in Exodus. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days, and he rested on the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. So this is pointing us back to the creation account. You know, you can't even get 2 pages into the Bible before you see Sabbath. God, after creating the heavens and the earth and everything in it, he rested. Not because he was tired, but because he was so powerful and so glorious he could. And he didn't just stop and rest on the Sabbath. He blessed it and he made it holy. This is so important right here. Holy means that something is sacred, separate, or set aside. So the Sabbath day is a different day than the other 6, a day with a special focus. And in the original Hebrew, holy also means hallowed or greatly revered or honored. So this special, different day was a day meant for honoring God. So God blessed it then. And in the Bible, anytime something is blessed, it doesn't mean what we mean, material wealth or prosperity. It means receiving God's favor, not necessarily in your circumstances, but despite them. It means a deeper walk with God, a deeper knowledge, satisfaction, closeness, or dependence on Him. And so you have these two things together, hallowed and blessing, and they work hand in hand. You focus on God, you get more of God. The more you get of God, the more you want to focus on Him. So when you take a day to simply bask in God's glory rather than all that you think you have to do and be and accomplish, you come away with more of Him rather than the world and its thinking. And when you have more of God, a greater adoration, respect, fear, and trust, you more glorify, honor, and hallow Him. I love how that works. So the Sabbath is a day each week where we remember who we really are. It reminds us, just like it was to remind the Israelites when it was originally commanded, that as God's people, we're not slaves any longer. We're not slaves to work or fashion or social media or our homes, design, or our children's demands, our in-laws' preferences, or our own sinful desires. We are daughters of the Most High. God is our deliverer. And now we freely walk in the Spirit that lives in us because of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. And it's interesting, there's so much research on this that I don't have time to get into today, but secular economists, psychologists, doctors, sociologists, neuroscience, all of them throughout history have even found that taking a break every 7 days is healthy for us. They would say, it seems, it's, quote, wired into us. And communities flourish when they have a break on the seventh day. And remember that hurry sickness I was talking about? It's a major factor in heart disease, among other things. And when you have hurry sickness, it increases the stress hormone cortisol, which suppresses your immune system, it raises your blood pressure, and increases your risk of heart attack and stroke. Those are just a few small examples of how God literally wired the Sabbath into our bodies. The Sabbath is a break from our normal work, yes, but more importantly, it's a spiritual rest to remember the Lord of our salvation. It focuses our delight and joy on Him and His accomplished work, not our own. So I decided to try it. For many of us, if you're like me, once you choose to prioritize the Sabbath, our natural tendency is to find it by rules. No computer, no errands, go on a walk, take a nap, read a book. And rules, although I prefer the term guidelines, are helpful. And I will talk about that in a second, but there's one thing I'd like to talk about first. One of the biggest things that hindered me from taking a Sabbath was the sheer fact that I'm a mom. It's commonly said that moms, they don't get a break. Moms work 24/7, we're always on call. And while sometimes I think we can sound a bit dramatic about it, there is a kernel of truth. How restful can a day really be, right? When we have kids running around? What does happen when the baby gets sick or the naptime revolt begins or we hear about a neighbor who needs help? I mean, what happens to Sabbath rest when the work of life gets in the way? And I think when it comes to the Sabbath, there is probably a Pharisee lurking in all of us. In the Gospels, Jesus makes it clear our highest priority, above all the definitions of what work is, it should be to love God and to love neighbor, even on the Sabbath. Like in my home, as we were figuring out what the Sabbath could look like, my husband and I started to ask, okay, all right, so is cooking work, or is doing dishes work, or is changing soiled sheets work? It's the whole like, where's the line thing, right? And it's funny because it seems like, and I don't have a stat for this or anything, but it seems like one of Jesus's favorite things to do was for him to mess with the Pharisees on the Sabbath, the day that no work was to be done according to the Pharisee law. So for example, one day Jesus and his disciples, they were hungry and they were in a field, so they pulled off the grain heads and started eating them. And in doing this, they broke a ton of the Sabbath laws, like a ton. And the Pharisees called Jesus out. But Jesus, you know how he responds? He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And a few verses later, Jesus heals a withered man's hand. And when the Pharisees ask him about it, and let me tell you, you can literally feel their fury leaping off the pages of the Bible in this passage. Jesus responds, and he says to them, do good on the Sabbath. The point is, Jesus was telling them the essence of Sabbath rest isn't found in the terms of our to-do and to-don't list. That's how the Pharisees defined it. They were looking for, in a sense, outward compliance. They were trying to earn salvation and good standing before God. But the Sabbath was never about the doing or the not doing. That's what man made it about. When Jesus defeated death, he deemed us righteous, loved, and accepted, not because of our actions, but because of Christ. And so as moms, it is true that the work is never done, but saying the Sabbath is, quote, something you'll get to later is probably more of an excuse than anything. I don't know, I'm only 6 years into motherhood, but for me, it hasn't gotten any easier, just different. Anyway, This is the thing. When we Sabbath, our hands may do good, like Jesus said, while our hearts continue to rest in the good news of the gospel. And I think this is key. First, we can't get all caught up in, quote, the right way to do Sabbath. Instead, we need to relax into the free gift of grace of God, knowing we are the ones making it more complicated. And second, in areas we can, we remember that we stop, not when the work is done, because that's never going to happen, but when it's time, because to Sabbath is to have an exercise in trust. So that means sometimes the Sabbath looks like getting a nap, and sometimes it looks like washing soiled sheets. Sometimes it's reading a book, and sometimes it's bringing a meal to someone at church. But when Jesus is our rest, the Sabbath can become a day of showing mercy and love, of being in the mess, making sacrifices, and being content with the inefficiencies of our young children. It can be a day of high cost to ourselves in order to show Jesus to others. Okay, so back to something I mentioned earlier. Once we understand that we need a Sabbath, that we're designed for it, it's not about rules, we're still left with this question. So what does it look like in our modern day to Sabbath? When I first started, I treated the day more like a day off from income-producing work. I did to catch up on all my work at home and prep for the week ahead. But the Sabbath isn't a day off. It's not just a day for us to binge watch TV and online shop. No, it's a set apart day. It's a day for purpose and to do things that point us to the giver of all good gifts. It's about moving to worship, which means that weirdly, the Sabbath actually takes work. We have to plan ahead to think about what we want it to look like, set boundaries, or like I mentioned previously, guidelines. No hard and fast rules, but if you're like me, especially at first, Sabbathing will be hard. I've heard a lot of versions of the steps of Sabbath, and there are, of course, lots of good options out there. But for me, there are a few integral steps to ordering my Sabbath. Of course, the first is to stop. Stop my typical activity. The day should look different from other days. Then I rest. But again, this isn't just to watch a bunch of TV. I do something life-giving that's enjoyable. And for me, that usually means reading fiction, taking a walk in the woods, and playing games with my family. I'm trying to do something that moves me to worship, to see God as the creator of all. When I'm amazed by God's work or his good gifts to me, then I move to worship. I see my place in the order of this world. I worship God, recognizing who is on the throne and who is not. So for me, when I first started, I was bored. I felt awkward, almost anxious, actually. And I was a little jittery, wondering what I was going to do all day. But slowly, over time, I've settled into the rhythm of a true rest every 7 days. And honestly, now the Sabbath has become my favorite day of the week. I'm not perfect, of course. I'm a work in progress. But I do find that I'm more aware of God and his gifts all throughout the week when I Sabbath. I usually have fresh scripture on my mind and these sweet moments of prayer to look back to. I am just like the Israelites who, when God gave the command to remember the Sabbath, I need it just as much as them. Okay, so hopefully I've at least piqued your interest about considering a Sabbath. Here are a few things if you want to get started. My best recommendation, of course, is to study the Sabbath. Get your arms around what it really means. Before you throw it out as irrelevant or too hard in the season like I did, commit yourself to truly understanding it. Pray and ask God to show you what it means, what it can look like, and how it should play out in your life. Remember, too, that it doesn't have to be Sunday. The typical Jewish Sabbath is actually sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. The early church Sabbath on Sunday, the day Jesus rose from the grave. But we're not under the law, remember? So if you work at a church or if your husband or you are on call over the weekend, pick a different day that works. Just one day out of seven. The next one, just remember that the day can look a lot of different ways. I heard once that whatever you normally do, do the opposite. So if you work with your hands during the day, rest your hands. If you work with your mind, rest your mind. Most of us probably do a bit of both, but it's a helpful starting point. The key is that you do something that moves you to worship. So while watching a movie is totally fine, and often my family ends the day with a family movie night and snack plates. But think about how you might integrate things that foster your creativity, energize you, or, quote, fill your tank, so to speak. This might be going on a walk, enjoying good food, taking a nap, visiting a farmer's market, sleeping in, going to an art museum, listening to great music, going to a concert, having a picnic. I could go on and on and on, but just pick something that sounds fun and life-giving to you, but most importantly, that leads you to worship. Next, I heard recently about the concept of kara time. It's from Mark 6:31 when Jesus says to his disciples, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." Do you see it? Kara is come away and rest a while, C-A-R-A. Jesus said it to his disciples when they were so busy with crowds. Mark actually says that they didn't even have time to eat. Jesus says to them, I know you're tired. I know you need rest. Come, spend it with me. This spending time with God, it's an integral part of Sabbath. If this isn't incorporated, then it's really only another day of leisure. So make intentional time to spend with God. The last guideline I'm going to share may just be the hardest. Consider a digital detox. This is one I still haven't hit my stride in yet, but I encourage you at the very least to figure out what you're going to do with your phone. Did you know that the average iPhone user unlocks their phone 80 times a day and touches their iPhone 2,617 times a day? Did you know that on average we spend up to 3 hours a day on social media? Well, I am very thankful for my phone. It is also one of the biggest distractions I have for focusing on God and my family, and is one of the best ways for me to feel shame, pride, inadequacy, and judgment. Not really a recipe for enjoying the Sabbath, right? So my goal is not to be on social media at all, and to check my phone only a few times a day for messages. I'll be honest and say I'm not consistently there yet. We could do an entire show on digital detox, so I'll stop there and just encourage you to study this. Okay, that's it. Those are all the guidelines I'm going to offer. I know some of you are thinking about, what about sports and activities that fall on Sunday? What about hosting people and having people over for Sunday brunch? What if we want to do an activity in town or get invited to hang with another family, or we want to travel, or, you know, can we do all those things? Frankly, I don't know for you. I'm going to leave those with you to figure out with your husband if you have one, to ask friends in your community who understand your unique life, or to discuss with wise mentors or pastors that you respect. I can't tell you how to get through all the outliers or random things that happen, or how God leads you in your family's activities and extracurriculars. But I do know that if you come with a humble heart that longs to understand, God will help you. So if you're like me and you long to be faithful to God until the end, I am convinced that the Sabbath, at least for me, is a huge part of that equation to live into this reality. It's a physical practice of the spiritual trust I have in my Savior and the work He accomplished on my behalf. And if you think about it, Sabbath rest is what all creation is moving towards. It's part of my end goal, and it's part of yours. It's the culmination of God's redemptive plan. The practice of Sabbath today is simply pointing us to our future reality where we'll experience eternal Sabbath rest. And while, of course, keeping the Sabbath is not a requirement for us to be His daughters, it is a sweet gift until we meet Him face to face and enter our forever Sabbath rest.